While in Munich, he also designed and laid out the famous park known as the English Garden. In between these undertakings, he somehow found time to conduct a good deal of solid science. He became the world's foremost authority on thermodynamics, and the first to elucidate the principles of the convection of fluids and the circulation of ocean currents. He also invented several useful objects, including a drip coffee maker, thermal underwear, and a type of range still known as the Rumford fireplace. In 1805, during a sojourn in France, he wooed and married Madame Lavoisier, widow of Antoine Laurent. The marriage was not a success, and they soon parted. Rumford stayed on in France, where he died, universally esteemed by all but his former wives, in 1814. But our purpose in mentioning him here is that in 1799, during a comparatively brief interlude in London, he founded the Royal Institution, yet another of the many learned societies that popped into being all over Britain in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. For a time it was almost the only institution of standing to actively promote the young science of chemistry, and that was thanks almost entirely to a brilliant young man named Humphrey Davy, who was appointed the institution's Professor of Chemistry shortly after its inception, and rapidly gained fame as an outstanding lecturer and productive experimentalist. Soon after taking up his position, Davy began to bang out new elements one after another, potassium, sodium, magnesium, calcium, strontium, and aluminium, or aluminium, depending on which branch of English you favour. The confusion of the aluminium-aluminium spelling arose because of some uncharacteristic indecisiveness on Davy's part. When he first isolated the element in 1808, he called it alumium. For some reason he thought better of that and changed it to aluminum 4 years later. Americans dutifully adopted the new term, but many British users disliked aluminum, pointing out that it disrupted the ium pattern established by sodium, calcium, and strontium, so they added a vowel and syllable. He discovered so many elements not so much because he was seriously astute as because he developed an ingenious technique of applying electricity to a molten substance, electrolysis, as it is known. Altogether he discovered a dozen elements, a fifth of the known total of his day. Davy might have done far more, but unfortunately as a young man he developed an abiding attachment to the buoyant pleasures of nitrous oxide. He grew so attached to the gas that he drew on it, literally, 3 or 4 times a day. Eventually, in 1829, it is thought to have killed him. Fortunately, more sober types were at work elsewhere. In 1808, a Dour Quaker named John Dalton became the first person to intimate the nature of an atom, progress that will be discussed more completely a little further on. And in 1811, an Italian with a splendidly operatic name of Lorenzo Romano Amadeo Carlo Avogadro, Count of Caracqua and Cerrito, made a discovery that would prove highly significant in the long term, namely, that 2 equal volumes of gases of any type, if kept at the same pressure and temperature, will contain identical numbers of molecules.